And I have something here from Jean Fahey. She had a revelation that she sent to me. I'd like to share with you, and maybe a few words from the Bible concerning what the Lord's showing me about it. I'm not going to read all of it, but parts of it I think are pretty pertinent to what we've been talking about in some ways. She entitled this one, The Large Eagle. I saw a very large eagle with wings outstretched, flying in a circle. It was made known that it was flying in a circle just within the perimeter over the continental United States, and I was amazed at this vision as it unfolded, at the enormous size of this great eagle and the magnitude of the awe I was feeling while watching the scene before me. God is awesome and deserving of all of our praise. It seems that this eagle had been circling within the continental United States for some time before I saw the vision. And then it disappeared. And again I was shown this large eagle, but from a farther distance. And this time it was in the mid part of the continental United States and not by the edge. And again I was seeing it from up in the air also. This time when I saw it, it was also flying from east to west. But it was carrying in its beak something that I could not yet make out. And when it came into focus, I could see that it was an olive branch. It hung out of both sides of its mouth. The name of the branch was Justice and Mercy. Justice hung out on the right side of the eagle's beak, and Mercy hung out on the left side. And as I watched the eagle, it made a sudden swooping turn to the right and flew to New York and over New York City, where it released the olive branch, and I watched it fall to the ground. It seemed to float and fall very slowly than it would in the natural. I could not see exactly where it landed because the buildings were in my way. Even from my vantage point, I knew in my spirit that what had just happened was not good. And I saw the tall skyscrapers of New York City. And it happened very quickly, and then the vision ended. And I began to pray. And, what I saw from this was that the eagle's going to drop the olive branch, which normally all over the world people perceive the olive branch as a sign of peace. You know, even the United Nations has the olive branches on both sides of the globe as a sign of peace. And also, this olive branch had been named Justice and Mercy. And, obviously what we desire is mercy. We never really desire justice because justice brings judgment. Because we walk under grace, and we walk under the mercy of God. But God doesn't give mercy to everyone. To us who are under His grace through our faith, that gift that He gives us to believe in Him and believe in His sacrifice, to us, we receive the mercy and the grace of God. To the world, they get no less than justice. But sometimes that's not a good thing, because even if we got justice instead of mercy, we would be judged. And it's because we don't walk perfectly according to the law of our covenant. Thank God we have grace, because God overlooks our foolishness. He overlooks our ignorance. He overlooks our failure. But justice wouldn't do that, you see. So some in this life get mercy and grace, and some get justice. With the world, quite often, God eventually gives justice. And the thing that struck me about this eagle was that justice was on the right side, and then it veered to the right and went to New York and dropped the peace sign, dropped it, That's something we really don't want to drop, I feel. I feel like, I'm not saying that God's not going to use all this. He certainly is. It's necessary. as we saw just the last meeting, that without the shaking, God's people are not going to come out of Egypt. And they're not going to come out of Babylon, and they're not going to seek him. The shaking has to come, and it will come because of God's justice. Well, we've been living on mercy for some time now. God's been very merciful. He's delayed some judgments. We are still getting confirmations like this one concerning New York. We have quite a few. New York, Washington, D.C., you know, Atlanta, different places in the nation that the saints have been perceiving will be struck in this next strike on the United States. The eagles dropping the peace is, I believe, you know, I was listening to our president just for a few minutes the other day on national news. He was being interviewed by a national newswoman, and he talked a lot about peace, but I know that he's planning for war, and most everybody does know he's planning for war, and I feel like the Lord has told us that that's exactly where we're headed, is for war. The eagle turned to the right and dropped, turned to the right, meaning justice, and dropped the peace symbol in New York City, meaning, of course, God is going to bring justice there. Well, Gene also had a further revelation that there was going to be a strike in the western or midwestern United States. And she had a very interesting revelation here about a tall, beautiful tree. I've been saying for a long time now that I felt like that the next strike was going to cause a great war in the Middle East. It was going to at least lead up to a great war in the Middle East, and that the things that happen at the beginning of this war are going to scare the world into bringing the New World Order, and as such, the covenant and the tribulation. And that at that time, America is going to be a very different nation. America is about to change radically. Let me share this with you about the tall tree that she has. Very scriptural. It's right out of the Bible. Maybe I'll share some verses with you out of the Bible. She said, I thought I was seeing an old-fashioned wagon wheel in front of me. During this vision, an angel of the Lord stood beside me. It was the angel of the Lord that spoke the words to me throughout this vision. But the words were spoken to me to let me know that I was not looking before me, but I was looking up. I was to look up. I believe it was this same angel that made it known to me that I was looking up at a tree. I was looking up at the most enormous, beautiful, verdant, green pine tree I'd ever seen. It was much larger than anything I'd ever seen, even while in the redwood forest. This tree was perfect, looking asymmetrically and just splendid to behold. I tried to crane my head up to see the top of the tree, but from my vantage point beneath it, I could not. The large branches high above me were blocking my view of its top. I stepped back a few steps to try to see it, but I couldn't. I was not allowed by the angel next to me to step back any further, maybe because of what was about to take place. My eyes scanned down to the trunk of this magnificent tree before me. I wanted to see the trunk of the tree. It was huge, beyond what any natural tree is upon this earth. Reddish brown with large bumps on it, absolutely beautiful. Amazing to see was this tree. To look up at the top was still impossible from my vantage point. Then I heard a thunder, and it made me look up into the sky. I sensed that a voice out of heaven had spoken words. I wondered what the words were. The scripture came to me, and it could have been spoken to me. In other words, she thought that this thunder was words from God spoken to her. And then she heard this voice, "Cut down the tree and leave the roots." I thought or said, "No, no, no." But before I could finish saying or thinking them, Swoop. I was left staring up at a blue sky. The tree was gone, and only its very large stump was left. Then I awoke, and it was the end of the dream. I wondered if the tree was America or someone. I'll say it that way. In America, in a position of authority. Someone in America in a position of authority. This dream was immensely upsetting. Well, I shared a while back about the tree in Daniel chapter 4, and I'm quite sure this is talking about it. If we go to Daniel 4 and verse 10, maybe we can look at this and see what's really coming for America. The America we've known, folks, is not going to be around for long. And that's what this revelation is all about. Verse 10. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he saw all the magicians and enchanters and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And, of course, none of them could give him the interpretation of the dream. And then he saw Daniel. And Daniel's going to give him that interpretation. In verse 10, he says, "Thus were the visions of my head upon my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the ends of all of the earth." A gigantic tree, right? Something that was well known by the whole earth. Verse 12. "The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it." Now you know what the beasts of the field are, right? The different world kingdoms that very well are fed and provided for by America. "And the fruit thereof was much." You know, America has done much for the world. It's in the natural sense. I say that, you know, there is a natural goodness in some people. It doesn't amount to much for heaven's sake, because our goodness has to be not our self-righteousness, but the righteousness of God and Christ in us. But, you know, America is a nation that, even when it's gone to war and won its victories with its enemies, has gone in and rebuilt the enemy's nations. And whenever there's a disaster, America has sent, you know, help and troops and whatever, food and whatever. You know, it's done a lot of good things, naturally good things, for which God has had mercy upon America. I have to quickly, you know, insert that this has nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven, though. The kingdom of heaven are those who are born again. Their righteousness is of the Father. And though God may have mercy on our nation because it's a merciful nation, it has nothing to do with them going to heaven. And, you know, our kingdom is not of this world. Even America is not our kingdom. Too many Christians mix up America with the kingdom of God, and it shouldn't be done. But at any rate, God had been merciful to this great tree. And we're going to get the interpretation of this in just a minute. And he said, "The beasts of the field had shadow under it. The birds of the heaven dwelt in the branches thereof, and all flesh was fed from it." Yep, America's been the breadbasket of the world, hadn't it? Okay. "I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said thus, 'Hew down the tree, cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from its branches.'" Well, this fall, we're going to find out, is Nebuchadnezzar, and most likely the kingdom himself, the kingdom beneath him. But it definitely points out Nebuchadnezzar. And as I've shared before, I believe that George Bush is a very clear type of Nebuchadnezzar, but he's bigger than that because, as you know, America has rejected a king. And instead, they have opted to have what I'll call, for the purpose of teaching, a corporate king, because they don't trust too much power in one man's hands. They've gone to this corporate king. And checks and balances, so on and so forth, you know, the different divisions of government. Well, you know, and we've also noticed that when you go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you go from individual to corporate. Even Jesus himself, you know, when he passed through, and when as soon as he shed the blood of the covenant, he became a corporate body. You know, the blood of the covenant is what began the covenant with his body, called the body of Christ. He is now a corporate body in the earth. And as we've studied, that's true of many things that pass from Old Testament to New Testament. They become spiritual instead of physical, because we're the spiritual people of God. We're the spiritual Jews. We're circumcised in heart, not flesh. And we have a spiritual kingdom. Everything is spiritual when it's translated from the letter to the spirit. The letter killeth in the New Testament, but the spirit giveth life. So, when you talk about this tree falling, I'll get to the interpretation in a minute, it's a little bit further down. When you talk about it falling, let me point out something to you, that the Bible, when it talks about something, a fall, is not necessarily a physical fall. You know, for instance, if you go to Revelation 18, you see the same thing. An angel coming down out of heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and has become a habitation of demons, and a hold of every unclean spirit, and a hold of every unclean and hateful bird." Notice the falling here is spiritual, it's not physical. Matter of fact, you have to go quite a few more verses here before there is a physical fall of America itself. And America is about to fall spiritually before it falls physically. You know, Romans 14 talks about a man who has fallen in his doctrine. He says the Lord's able to make him stand. Don't judge him because the Lord's able to make him stand. That's talking about a spiritual fallen position. And America is about to fall from its estate of being a provider, a concerned nation concerning other nations, a merciful nation. It's about to fall from that position. We know from the scriptures very plainly that America is not going to fall physically until the end of the tribulation period, but it's going to fall spiritually at the beginning of the tribulation period. And especially the leadership of America, even though it will have the backing of an awful lot of people for what it's about to do, is going to be a very fallen leadership. Let me read a little bit more here. Verse 15. "Nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and of brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the beasts in the grass of the earth." So in other words, the tree, which we're going to find out is at least Nebuchadnezzar, and obviously the great eagle of Babylon, Ezekiel 17, represents the United States. So the leadership of Babylon, or leadership of the United States, is what he's talking about here. And he says, leave the stump and with a band of iron and brass and in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth, and let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. And this seven times is the 7 years of the tribulation period. So you see that there is a fall at the beginning of the tribulation period. Many people, especially many Christians, are going to be very saddened at what they see America become, and very disappointed in what they see America become. But I want to point out to you folks, the world here is not here for its own sake. It's here for our sake. God has chosen a remnant out of this world. And the atmosphere that this world has created, the dirt that this world is for the purpose of raising up sons of God. God doesn't have this earth for the purpose of having carnal, natural nations. These nations exist to create sons of God. And for that reason, we're coming to the end. And we need desperately what's happened throughout history, and that is God is raising up now what he has throughout history, and that is a beast kingdom, in order to persecute the saints. And so seven times are going to pass over this man who just lost his heart to a beast's heart seven times. And the sentence is by decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the lowest of men. And yes, if you don't believe that yet, you will believe that. I know that many Christians don't believe that, but it's the word of God. God didn't put leaders in positions in order to lead nations into Christianity. He has spiritual leaders to lead those that have ears to hear and eyes to see and have a gift of faith into Christianity. The nations have another purpose. And throughout history, that's been absolutely proven. There are no Christian nations. There's only one Christian nation, and it's called Israel. And you, as a Christian, have been grafted into the olive tree called Israel in Romans chapter 11. That's the only Christian nation. And the rest all have their purposes. They're all the beasts of this world. God identified every world-ruling kingdom as a beast, and there have been many lesser beasts. And what he's saying here is that America is just going to be one of the beasts out there eating the grass of the field. Okay. He said, "This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, and thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation, for as much as all of the wise men of the kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee," or actually it's the same word for Elohim. So it could be the holy God. Okay. Verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was stricken dumb for a while, and his thoughts troubled him. The king answered and said, "Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation trouble thee." And Belshazzar answered and said, "My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. And the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all of the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the birds of the heavens had their habitation. It is thou, O king. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reached unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth." And of course, we know that America now is supposedly the only superpower left whose government has dominion now over the earth. And let's read some of the interpretation here. "And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one come down from heaven, and saying, 'Hew down the tree and destroy it, nevertheless leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that thou shalt be driven from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field.'" In other words, you're just like any other beast kingdom, right? "And thou shalt be made to eat grass as oxen, and shall be wet with the dew of heaven. and seven times shall pass over thee, and thou shalt, till thou shalt know the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth it to whomsoever he will. Well, obviously, the world is going to get this revelation a long time after the saints do, right? Matter of fact, they'll get it sometime in the great and terrible day of the Lord. They'll get this revelation. But it will be after the seven times, just like we read here. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy, to the poor, if there may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Well, the king was to become as a beast with the mind of a beast, to eat the grass of the field, and as we've seen before in 1 Peter, he said the grass, all flesh is as grass. And that this is a picture of the United States devouring much flesh during the seven times with the mind of the beast. Why would America have the mind of the beast? Because America is the head of the beast. It is the head of gold. It is the great eagle, as Babylon was called. And it rules over the nations. It rules over the UN, just exactly like Babylon ruled over the UN of their day. They ruled over the UN. And being in that position, they lost their mind. Their mind for 7 years. And devoured much flesh. Well, it's interesting that it says 7 years here because, you know, we're going to talk about a little bit later about the 70 and the 7 year. In the Old Testament, it was 70 years that God's people were in bondage to Babylon, but in the New Testament and in the book of Revelation, we see that it's 7 years. The same sequence of events happens in those 7 years. Well, now he's talking to the church when he says 7 years here that Babylon is going to devour the grass of the field. I would say that this is, has a double meaning. It's talking about not only the flesh of the saints, but also the flesh of the nations. In other words, Babylon had been a protector, a provider, a breadbasket to the world. Instead now, he is commanded to break off his sins and to show mercy to the poor. Well, I know a lot of Christians don't agree with this nation showing mercy or turning the other cheek or anything like that, and I can tell you that this nation is never going to do that. It's not going to happen because it's not a Christian nation. And but we as Christians should not agree with a carnal nation to do what this nation is about to do. And you understand that the things that are coming upon this nation, they're not the fault of the Arabs. They're the fault of this nation. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. A nation can receive nothing except it come from heaven. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. No one resists him. He ruleth in the kingdom of men and sets up over it whom he will. He, according to Daniel in verse 35, 4 and 35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, and or say unto him, what doest thou? The Lord does everything. And what America receives is not the fault of the vessel. It's the fault of the one that uses the vessel. The Lord has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, and he is bringing chastening upon America. Well, Americans don't believe that, so they're going to retaliate. And all this is going to make a ripe atmosphere for Christians to grow up in, believe it or not. This is going to bring maturity and perfection. This is going to bring the shaking. It's going to bring God's people out of the world. Right now, God's people are very worldly, very caught up in the world. They have no use for discipleship. They do not respect the Word of God. All these things are going to change. And America is going to change. This is a story of America. We just saw Gene's revelation here. and what she saw is going to happen in America. The great tree is going to fall from its exalted position. The nations have respected the mercy, the provision, and the grace of America, but they're doing that less and less, aren't they? They're very angry. And we haven't seen anger yet. America is going to retaliate from these next strikes and do a lot of damage and kill a lot of people that have nothing to do with these strikes on America. Very honestly, have nothing to do. Some of them may agree with it, but they have nothing to do with these strikes on America. And that's a worldly thing. We as Christians, we need to judge righteously, and we need to judge according to what the Lord has commanded us, which is to love our enemies and turn the other cheek and do good to those that despitefully use us and to not take up the sword and so on and so forth. We need to obey the commands the Lord Jesus gave us. America's not going to do that. America's going to fight. America's going to get in a real mess, and they're going to, in panic, retaliate and get in an even worse position and retaliate even more. But all this is going to bring the New World Order, the judgments of the Book of Revelation. America is the one that's going to bring the war that comes right there at the time of the, in Revelation chapter 6, when the Red Horse Rider rides. In fact, let me read that to you. This is also, I'll read it to you in the Bible, but also I'll read it out of Jean's revelation. She just got a revelation of this. The name of it is Three Horses. And this was all sent to me at the same time. By the way, I'm going to read this first. Excuse me. The Lord impressed her to go on my website, our website, and go to Dimitri Dudeman's visions. And she was reading the vision called The Star. And the Lord said, He wanted her to turn down three visions and read that vision. And the verse that you found here at the star, I think, says, it's Obadiah 1 and 4. It says, though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord, Obadiah 1 and 4. Well, that's very significant to the vision we just saw. Then she said, God told me to go down three visions. So I clicked next at the bottom of each vision three times. The third vision was again about America. America, the falling star was the name of it. There it is again, folks. I had no idea what the other two in between were. They were not the assignment I had been given to read. I read the vision and was really praying about all that God was showing me and supernaturally connecting together. Well, then she had this three horses vision. She said, I saw a red cape. Then I was shown a rider upon a red horse. I watched him make nearly a complete circle in the spirit realm above the earth. And I think my stomach felt like it had knots in it. This was not a good thing for America. Of course, the red horse represented war. It's to take peace from the earth. And as you know, the man-child is the first judgment of Revelation chapter 6, the white horse rider. But also, you know that the white horse rider is the one that releases, and all the other judgment horses are following the white horse rider. And the truth is, it's what the Lord showed me, was that Moses was the white horse rider in his day. He spoke the judgments that brought Egypt down. And that's exactly what's going to happen in these days, is the white horse rider is going to release these other judgments. Okay? She said, this wasn't a good thing for America. Of course, that's the war. Next, I was shown a black horse. Well, that was in Revelation 6, a famine, right? I wanted to think I was imagining all this, but then came a yellow horse. And the words were spoken so that I could not ignore them. I only wrote down one word after seeing the yellow horse, plague. I saw death, famine, and plague come over America. I also saw that this was, in at least one way, related to the attack upon our soil. Yes, I believe that. I believe that what we're seeing there in the beginning of the tribulation period is the war in Jeremiah 25, which is blamed on Babylon in Jeremiah 25. We'll look at that a little later. And so I believe that that war that we're talking about here is one that America is about to, I would say maybe start is too hard a word, because who knows who starts it. I just know that it is because America won't repent that these judgments are coming, not because Arabs are just bad people, as some would think, you know. Everybody's bad. Everybody that's lost is Antichrist. And, you know, as Christians, we're to know no man after the flesh. And we're forbidden to judge those that are without, 1 Corinthians 5 says. Why does God tell us not to know people after the flesh? And not to judge those that are without? Because we've been given grace and they haven't. And besides, the body of Christ is all nationalities, all races of people. Christians are good no matter what race they come from. I mean, true Christians. And so, as Christians, we're not to judge anybody after the flesh. We're not to know them according to their race or nationality. That's a sin. That's wrong. That's a respect of persons. God forbid us to be respecters of persons. But the Bible does say that everyone whose spirit does not confess that Christ is come in the flesh, that is the spirit of Antichrist. Everyone. Americans, Muslims, all of them. If they're not born again, that they have the spirit of Antichrist. So, Christians need to discern and rightly divide the kingdom and make up their mind that they're going to act according to kingdom principles, our kingdom, not the kingdom of America, not the kingdom of the world. We do obey the rules and laws of the land, as the Bible tells us. But, of course, when they cross God's laws, we have a higher law, don't we? Like, for instance, the mark of the beast, we know we have a higher law. We are forbidden to do that. Well, she said that this was related to the attack on our soil, these three judgments. She goes on to say, I also believe that there was what people would refer to as natural disasters involved. It seemed like the midsection of our country, especially to the Middle East, was hit hard with the plague, sickness, death, and some famine. We have some dreams, visions, prophecies on our site about plague coming to America, different forms of the plague. And that's just part of warfare nowadays, folks. In fact, I think that you will find that what's going on around the world right now is warfare. It's just covertly happening. She said, I cried out, show them your mercy, over and over. Then it came to me to cry out, show them your mercy, blood. And he spoke, it's only for those who cry out for it. I was crying and praying to God. Later I saw America with every kind, it seemed to me, of destruction. I saw a map of the continental United States and was shown symbols that had been placed upon it representing what would occur in which place. I remember that Idaho was a tornado, and there were tornado symbols in other places in the country too. It seemed there was fire and flood and hurricanes and storms and attacks, and it was very hard to see and to take in the reality of it all. I wanted to know why. Then he spoke to me that America is adulterous and she embraces evil. I saw a black adulterous spirit in a black gown and wearing a black cape. I also saw a Jezebel spirit within this black adulterous spirit over America. Evil could be felt in her. She was emanating it. It was absolutely awful to experience this feeling. Okay. Well, she also saw, probably because of this, hit a stock market crash. So I'm not going to read the rest of this. But, well, so we're heading into a very tumultuous times, but we need to expect that America's nature towards Christians is about to change, folks.